Now we come to our fifth in this series of messages on preaching from Joshua. And this message is entitled Conquering Canaan. And I think there will be a few messages in this. There might be some parts to this. But we'll begin here at Joshua chapter 1, and we'll read verse number 2, and then we'll go down to verse number 6. The Bible said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, the Bible said, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And then let's go down to verse number 6 of chapter 1. The Bible says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou go. Whithersoever thou goest. All right, then verse number 8. The Bible said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, that thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9 says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. All right, whithersoever thou goest. Now, Father, will you help us as we look into these scriptures in Jesus' wonderful name? Amen. Now, Joshua is getting the commands here in verse number 2 to go into the promised land. Now, the promised land was a literal place, and God gave Israel three things, the land, the law, and the Lord. And you can look at it like this. They defiled the land, they forsook the law, and crucified the Lord. But those were three things God gave Israel. Let me just say, this is not really the message, but I'll put this in here. I want to insert this. Israel one day will get all the land that God promised them. As far as I know from the Bible, Israel has never occupied all of the land that God gave them. Now, they came the closest to occupying under King David, but they have not yet occupied all the land. Now, in the millennial reign, they will occupy all of that land. Now, today I want to talk about conquering Canaan. Now, these people, the Israelites, are getting ready to go to war, and they're getting ready to conquer the land. And God gave Joshua some things in these verses today that we're going to look at, eight things, and we won't get them all in this message at all, because I've got some sub-points and some outlines embedded into this that I believe will be a help to you. And I'll explain that in just a minute. But here's the deal. They were going to conquer a land that had never been through before. And Canaan in the Bible. Now, when we talk about Canaan in the Bible, now, many times songwriters will use Canaan as a type of heaven. Let me say that Canaan is not a type of heaven. All right. Now, if you sing that, I'm not mad at you. That's up to you. But Canaan is a type, and the promised land is not a type of heaven, but the promised land is a type of victorious Christian living upon this earth. You don't have to conquer anything to go to heaven. Jesus already did that for you. But in your life on this earth, you're going to have to conquer some things in order to get the victory, in order to live in complete victory. So we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at Joshua, and we're going to look more or less at the spiritual aspect of it. All right, Canaan to us is a type of victorious Christian living. And so we're going to look at that. Now, when we think about this, God dealt with Joshua in some areas that he's going to have to, you know, deal with in order to go to Canaan. And we're going to look at some of these. Number one, let's look first of all at his going. Verse number 2 says, arise, go over this Jordan. Now, sometimes God tells us to go when it don't seem like we ought to really be going. You know that? Amen. God sometimes will tell us, but he said, arise. And so when we think about going for God, now the we that are saved, you got to be saved in order to go for God, right? Amen. We think about that, but I want to go back and let me read verse 2. Arise, go over this this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. All right. Now, first of all, I want you to look at the prompting or the moving along of God. Sometimes God has to prompt us to get us to go. And at this time of the year, the Jordan would be overflowing. Now, the children of Israel realized that they were going to have to cross Jordan in order to go into this land. But God was prompting them. Now, sometimes God tells us to go into places that don't look right spiritually. Amen. I'll give you an illustration. You remember Moses and the children of Israel, right? They just came out of Egypt. And they looked back and they saw Pharaoh coming and marching behind them. In chapter 14, verse number 15, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Now, you see, amen, don't stand and cry to me. Go on. Amen. He's saying go forward. And so we see today in our Christian lives that we should never, well, let me give it to you like this. You know, it's like sort of like a kid. If you ever had a kid up on a, in a closet or something up high, and you say, "Jump and I'll catch you." And the kid kind of stands, he kind of looks around, he's kind of scared to jump, he's not going to do that, and you have to coax him into jumping. And what he don't realize is when he jumps into your arms, he's safe. And sometimes God has to prompt us or encourage us to go forward, amen, in life. We have to go forward. And so the way to be victorious, God deals with our going. God said, arise, amen, arise. In other words, get out of the state that you're in. And go forward. Amen. Go do something for God. Let me just encourage you today. If you are listening to the radio or if you're listening to the broadcast, however you're getting this today, may I encourage you to go forward for God. May I encourage you to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, don't sit idly by and watch the millions Christless die, doing nothing to win the lost, afraid of what might be the cost. My friend, this old world is worth nothing. Amen. It's just stuff in this old world. You know, the other day, I hesitate to tell this, but the other day I punched something on my phone and I locked myself out of my phone. And long story short, we kept trying to get back into it and we couldn't get into it. And finally, we had to wipe that phone clean. Well, in doing that, I lost about a year's worth of pictures. I lost pictures of my cats when they were little kittens. And I lost my Christmas pictures and 4th of July pictures and all that kind of stuff. And I thought about it for a little bit and it kind of bothered me. And then I began to think about something. It's just stuff. It's at the end of the day, it's just stuff. You know, I'm passing through this when I'm busy for God, trying to preach, trying to win men to God, trying to get folk to live right. And so I can't sit and worry about a year's worth of pictures. It's gone. It's a sad thing. I hate that it happened, but there's nothing I can do about it. Amen. Now, let me give you a little outline. It'll help you about going forward in your life. Amen. When God said arise, by the way, God, and I'll come up with this statement again, but God's Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Holy Scriptures. I want you to understand that. When God says for you to go forward, it'll be right. And here's Joshua. And God begins to talk to him after the death of Moses. And God says, arise. Amen. There's some of us, we need to arise. We're sitting, as a fellow said, on the stool of do-nothing. Amen. And the Bible talked about that we're to redeem the time. Amen. But I'm going to give you a little outline, a little acrostic on the word forward, all right? Now, how do you go forward? You go forward by faith. Joshua had never been through this land before, but he was getting ready to go where God sent him. By the way, how do you go forward in life? By faith. Amen. One fellow said, when you can't track him, trust him. Amen. Now, you don't have to know everything God's up to in your life. Amen. If you knew that, he wouldn't be God. Did you know that? If you knew everything God was doing in your life, he wouldn't be God. But you don't have to know that. You don't have to know everything God's up to. And sometimes we try to figure it all out. But we don't have to know that. Amen. Let me say this to you. You go forward by faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. The Bible said I'm not to live my life by sight. We'll deal with this verse later in this part of the study. But Elijah, when the Bible said, and we may not deal with this exact verse, but we'll deal with this situation. But Elijah, remember, he had killed the 400 prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel threatened him and said, I'll have your head, but tomorrow about this time. And the Bible said when he saw that, it didn't say when he heard that, it said when he saw that. He got to thinking about it with an eye of philosophy. And that's what a lot of us are trying to see things instead of hearing things. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to go forward to the Canaan land, go by faith. Amen. Then, secondly, go by obedience. Now, God's telling Joshua, arise here. Now, Joshua remembers a time when the children of Israel was at the brink of going and conquering the Canaan land when he was a young man 40 years earlier, and they turned their back. And no doubt in Joshua's mind, the devil's probably telling him they're going to do that again. Why, they're going to get up to the door of this thing, they're going to do it again. Well, Joshua handled it a little bit different this time, and he did it, I think, a little bit quicker this time. And the people ready to fall in line. But you go forward in life. You go to the Canaan land. You go to victorious Christian by obeying God. I don't know why it's so hard for people to obey the Lord. Amen. I don't know why. I heard about Dr. Lee Robertson told a story. I heard him tell this the other day in a message he was preaching about. He said, I was on a plane. He said, I was flying from Charlotte to Atlanta. And he said, there was a man sitting over the cross from me. And he said, I was reading my Bible and studying. And the man looked at me and said, are you a preacher? And he said, I am. And the man came over and talked to me. He said, I'm a doctor. He said, I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm a doctor. And they began to sit and talk. And he said, preacher, he said, I'll tell you something. He said, I'm just unhappy. He said, I'm unhappy in my life. I'm unhappy in my work. He said, I just can't figure out why I'm unhappy. And Brother Robertson began to give him scriptures and talk to him about surrender. He said, I'm saved. The man said, I'm saved by grace. I'm born again. I know that, but I'm just not happy. And Dr. Robertson began to talk to him about surrendering. Dr. Robertson said, well, here's what you need to be willing to do. As a doctor, what if God called you to the darkest, darkest tribe of Africa to be a medical missionary? And said, that man said, oh, no, 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 I couldn't do that. And Brother Robertson said, right there is your trouble, sir. You don't have to do it. You just got to be willing to do it. Don't mean God's going to call you there. Sometimes God will test you. I remember one time, God tested me to go to Vietnam to be a missionary. He tested me. And I had a man's number in my pocket. And I said, Lord, I'll call the man. I'm not married. You know, I wasn't married at the time. I'll call the man. I'm willing to go. God, you know I'll go. I started up my yard and my sitting outside my house. And I started up my yard. God said, don't you call that man. Don't call that man. And then God turned me. And then God gave me something else to do. Now, here's the thing about it. About everything that I've ever done, every time I've tried to go to the mission field, God will turn it back into radio and let me do something. You got to be obedient. Number three, going forward. I'm talking about conquering Canaan now. I'm talking about where Moses, God told the children of Israel in the book of Exodus to go forward. You have to rely on God's word. I believe every verse in the Bible. I'll touch that later. I believe the 66 books of the Bible, 1189 chapters, 31,000 verses. I am not looking to rearrange the Bible. I'm not looking to take parts out of the Bible. I'm not looking to say, well, we're under this and this and this and that don't apply to this and this. Let me say this. I realize that we do not live by the Mosaical law. I realize we do not keep the law to go to heaven. I don't preach that we have to keep the law. And amen, I'm not a legalist, and that's what a legalist is. But there are things in the Old Testament that are our examples. And just because we're living under grace doesn't mean we can live any way we want to if we're saved. I want you to understand that. Amen. But we must rely upon every promise in this Bible. When God sends you to do a work, my life's verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. In other words, what that verse is saying, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. Where God calls, he will supply the need. Amen. When God calls, he'll take care of it. Now, you know, the reason a lot of preachers get into things in the ministry and they fail in them, projects or whatever, it's not God's will. You see, if we're going to fight a battle, the Bible says we're to count the cost first. If a nation's going to go to war against another nation, it counts the cost. It moves military assets in place. So we have to count the cost today about things we're getting ready to do. Now, that doesn't mean that we reason it out by philosophy. There are things we've got to go by faith on. But brother, you know, if you're born again, if you're saved by the grace of God, You know when God tells you to do something. I'm telling you, you know when it's... And brother, there's nothing like knowing God's will. Amen. I've been on some things that God has led me into over the past 48 years of being saved. And I knew for a fact God wanted that done. Now, I didn't know how it's going to be done. I remember a time when we were in a project. We had raised $50,000. We was trying to borrow another, I don't know, 80 and 90,000 from the bank. And boy, I remember a time we had raised $50,000 from donations. I mean, all over the country, literally all over the eastern part of the country. And, the bank pulled my loan out from under, or threatened to. They said, we're going to pull this loan out from under you. Said, we're going to pull it out. I remember sitting down in my wife's office. I remember this. It wasn't my wife's office at that time. Then she ended up being in that office, but it's where she was that day. She is sitting there, and I sitting there. Wasn't nobody in the building, me and her. I sat down on the floor, and I cried like a baby. I said, Christy, I don't know what in the world we're going to do. I said, we can't give all this money back to these people. We don't even know some of them. We don't even know. They just sent it. We don't even know. And somebody handed it to me and said, so-and-so said, give it to you. You know, you try to keep records of all of it, but man, it's going to be hard to do all that. And I said, I guess we're going to have to just give all the money back and tell them the project's over. That's what the devil wanted me to think. And I went on down to the house, and you know, everybody, you know, we're just all naturally, flesh, you know, and we got the Spirit of God living us, but the flesh. And so I did what everybody would do. I called who I knew. I knew a lady who knew a man, and I called this lady, and she said, you need to call this man. And when I hung up, the Holy Ghost said, don't you call that fella. And I said, but Lord, he said, don't call him. I said, but Lord, he said, don't call that man. Now, it wasn't no reflection on that lady that God wanted me to call that man. I said, Lord, what do I do? You've heard me tell this story before on the radio. God said, call the president. I said, the who? God said, call the president. Amen. Maybe not, but I mean, I did kind of argue the Lord a little bit. And, so my wife's sitting at the computer and she's sitting there. She had a bunch of numbers and I said, get me the president's office. Now this is true what I'm telling you. I said, get me the president's office. And I'm relying on the Word of God. God told us to go forward with this project. You know, the Word of God's real, right? God said to go forward. Faithful is he that calleth you also will do it. So I'm sitting there. And I said, give me the number. And she said, Ricky, do you realize how many numbers there are here? I said, well, at this point, just pick one. And brother, she picked the number. I called the number. Lady come on the line. I said, ma'am, I said, I need to speak with the president, please. She said, hold, sir. Now, amen. I thought, wow, amen. And little lady come on the line. Never forget her. Her name was Brooke. And Brooke came on the line. She said, my name is Brooks and I'm the president's assistant. Said, may I help you? I said, well, ma'am, I really need to speak with him if I could. She said, well, you can speak to him. He's in a meeting and right now. But said, could you mind telling me what you need? I said, no, I don't mind at all. I said, I'm trying to borrow money from your bank. And I said, we've got the loan ready to go and all that. And I said, now the bank's getting aggravated with me because we're not closing fast enough. And I said, I'm doing the best I can. I said, it ain't my fault. And explained the whole situation to her. And I said, they're going to pull the loan out from under me. And they're going to make me lose this thing. She said, sir, you can talk to the president, but you don't need the president. She said, I'll have you help by 10 o'clock in the morning. I said, well, thank you, ma'am. 10 o'clock on the dot the next morning, so help me, I got a phone call out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and the man called me. I can't even remember his last name. I can't even remember. And he called me, he said, sir, he said, you take all the time you need in closing that loan. We don't pull loans out from under our customers. Let me tell you something, brother. I relied on the Word of God. I took God at his word. Now, I ain't nothing special. Listen, there's nothing special about Ricky Cothran, about that story there that I've had to tell many times on the radio and in the pulpit. But let me tell you about that story. It wasn't me or Miss Brooke or anybody else. It was God that did it. It's God that worked on the hearts. And I tried to be a bit relied on the Word of God. When God tells you to do something, now, hey, if God ain't told you to do it, he ain't obligated to pay for it. Now, I'll put it this way. If Jesus walked in a restaurant and you looked around and you saw him, you said, oh, Jesus is here. And you didn't have but $2 and you ordered two big steaks and you said, man, I'm going to just eat since Jesus is here. He'll pay for it. I'm going to two big steaks and I'm going to meet two big milkshakes and I'm going to meet two orders of fries and I'm just going to eat. And you sit there and eat all that. And you got up and you said, Jesus, would you pay for that? And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to pay for that. Well, Lord, wait a minute. You saved me. Yeah, he said, but I didn't order that. You did. You didn't ask me before you ordered that, was I going to pay for it? No, I'm not going to pay for it. Now you're saying, well, Jesus wouldn't do a thing like that. Yeah, he would. Spiritually, he would. If you get involved in something that Jesus ain't involved in, I know in the name of ministry, a lot of things are done. I'm not against ministry. I'm not against getting the gospel out. Please don't misunderstand that, friend. I spend money, thousands of dollars every year that God sends in that God knows I don't have. I spend the money trying to get the gospel out. But let me say this to you, that if I get off into something of my own that God doesn't want me into, then God is not obligated to pay that. God paid the great debt at Calvary, and that paid for my sin. I thank God that he died for me and he rose again. Amen. That men can have life and trust in him. But he's not obligated to pay for my stuff that I get off in. Now, not only that, but taking the forward, F-O-R-W, taking the W, amen, there's some work in going forward. Now, you can't just sit by, amen. If you're going to go for God, you're going forward for God, you got to work at it. You got to read your Bible. You got to pray. If you're pastoring a church, you got to work at it. You got to invite people. If you're operating a ministry, you got to work at it. I used to didn't see the value of working. I used to didn't see the value of, doing any work. I was lazy. A lot of my ministry, even after God gave me the ministry, I was still somewhat lazy. But let me tell you, well, the radio ministry is doing good, but how much better could it have done had I not been lazy? Then let me say this. By the way, Joshua, going to Canaan. Let's just keep it right here, conquering Canaan. There's going to be some work to be done. Now, remember, he meets in verses 10 and 11. He meets with the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. I read it just last night. And he tells them, hey, now, Moses commanded y'all, you're at rest in your land. And Moses commanded y'all to go with us and to fight. Now, some of those guys are risking the chance of never coming back home. They had their wives and all that over there across the Jordan. And those men did that, and God honored it. But I tell you what, I think they'd have been better off if they'd have went with the Israelites into their land. Do you know they were the first ones to fall away from God? But anyway, God, there was work to be done. These men were going to be away from their homes at least 5 years and maybe more. They're going to be away from their homes. They're going to be away from, now, I guess they did it in rotations. I don't know how they did it, but they're going to be gone. And maybe they didn't. Maybe they all went in at one time. But let me tell you, if you do anything for God, there's work in it. Somebody said, well, I just want to sit by and have it at ease. Well, my friend, let me say this. You can do that, but there is a judgment coming. Amen. I'm not going to argue with you about that. I'm going to work till Jesus comes. I want to see what God will do in this hour. I believe God will do, and I want to go forward. The way you go forward is to work. You know, some folk believe that they can take a shortcut in life. I've seen preachers, I've seen young men do it, and they say, well, if I can just get somebody to promote me, if I can just get in with this clique of preachers, and I can rise to the top, and I'll have meetings. Let me tell you something, what good is a meeting if you got to pat somebody on the back for it? What good's a meeting if you got to just preach what people want to hear so that you can get to come to their church, my friend? If I've got to preach what you want me to preach in order for me to get you in your church, well, that ain't worth a hill of beans and a bar of soap, amen. I want to preach the word of God. Now listen, I'm not to come to any church, not whatsoever, and hurt that church. I'm not to come to any church and find out what the pastor's doing or the deacons are doing and preach on it. I'm not to do that. God help any man do that. I'm to strengthen the church. I'm to help the church. But I'm not going to play around to try to get... I mean, listen, there's work involved in this thing. Amen? There's work in it. And then if you want to go forward, there's availability. There's availability. You got to be available. God, send me where you want me to. Now, listen, I'm in the radio work, and I believe this is where God wants me. But if God said go to Africa, I'd have to load up and go. There's availability even in the radio work to say, hey, God, the gospel pulpit is yours. It's not what I want to preach. Now, Joshua had to be an available vessel to be used of God. You see, God gave Israel three divine things. The land is a divine thing in the sense it's God's land. And the law is a divine law, and the Lord was a divine Lord. But in order to get these promises, Israel had the law, but they had to conquer it. They had to work for the land, and then the Lord would come. And so Israel, this is a special people. I mean, you know, and so they go in there, but they had to be available. They had to be used of God. These men had to willingly be warriors. I mean, you know, they saw some awful sights. They saw some killing. These wasn't little chickens. You know, I hate to say this, but I'm afraid we're living in a day and hour in America. God was dealing with me about this morning as I was meditating on something. We have what's called a sympathetic society. And people can't stomach hardship. They really can't. If America got into a war, why, we would be an easy target for an enemy because we're sympathetic to every cause and everything. And we don't want to stand for anything. Amen. There are Christian people now don't believe in the death penalty. And I don't think you ought to put anybody to death. What does the Bible say about that? Amen. The Bible said because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Made the hearts of the sons of men. Let me tell you, you know why people are meaner than the devil? There's no consequences to it. Why people that break the law ought to be locked up, put in jail, and if need be, if they're convicted of murder and all this, they ought to be put to death. Amen. Every state ought to have a death penalty. Amen. It's in the Bible. You see, it's not in Ricky. It's not just something Ricky made up. No, that's God. But I'm just talking about we need to be available to do God's work. Listen, this is a battlefield, brother, that we're in today. And we're going to, young lady, you don't have to be a preacher. God wants to use you. Maybe you'll teach a class. Maybe you'll raise some godly children. Maybe you'll write some poems. Maybe you'll sing some songs. Maybe you'll play an instrument. Maybe you'll be some preacher's wife and be a help to him. My wife said to me the other day, one of the greatest things she ever said, she said, Ricky, my job's take care of you. And boy, that's a big job, buddy. I'll tell you that. Don't say amen. That's a big job. Amen. Some of you fellas, amen. It's a big job. Your wife take care of you too. Amen. You can say amen. But here's the deal. I want you to listen to me now. I want you to listen to me. Did you know we're to be available? Then let me say this. Let me give you this one. We're to redeem the time. Redeeming the time. If you want to go forward, God's been dealing with me about that. I've sat idly by and twiddled and fiddled and played around and all this and that and other thing. And I tell you right now, I'm not going to fuss at other preachers. You can do what you want to do. But I don't want to play all my life. There's things this old flesh enjoys doing. I'll tell you that right now. But I'm finding out the more time I spend with God, the less time I can do some of these other things. Now, let me give you the last one about going forward. If you do all the others, then the D, you can say destination reached. They went forward till finally one day they reached Canaan. The children of Israel went forward till finally one day they got across the Red Sea. So that, my friend, is the prompting. Then we notice, secondly, the people. In this going. You know, God dealt with Joshua's going, all right? If you want to conquer the Canaan land, you're going to have to go. First, there's the prompting, and now the people. All right, verse number 2 says, thou and all this people. Now, it was a certain people to inherit the land of God's people. It was a certain people. God chose Abraham, the Jew, the descendant of Shem, and God has chosen the Jew. Now, in the day and hour which you and I are living in, you have never seen so much anti-Jew in all your life. As a matter of fact, I had a note from I wouldn't call the name of the radio. Matter of fact, I don't remember the name, but I had a note from a Jew. I had a note from a Jew telling me they heard me on the radio. Now this is from a Jew. And they said, I appreciate your stand for Israel. This person is not a born-again Christian. They're a Jew. And they're into Judaism. I hope they will convert and be saved. But I appreciate their compliments because, listen, yes, God is still for Israel. Now, I want you folk to know that the church is not Israel. I want you to understand that, okay? And some people say, well, now we're in this age and the church is Israel and all that stuff. No, 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 no. God is still going to deal with Israel in the millennium. And you read Ezekiel chapter number 38, I believe it is. When God comes down in Russia and Germany and all those nations, said we're in Persia. That's Iran, Iraq. They're going down there and they're going to say, we're going to get Israel. And God's going to say to them, no, you ain't. This is going to be at the end of the tribulation period. Now the church will be gone. I won't be here for this. I'll be in heaven. But God is going to open the heavens in the second coming, what we call the second advent of Christ, the second coming. And brother, we're coming back with him on white horses. And out of his mouth goeth the sharp two-edged sword. That's the word of God. And all those fellows going to have their nuclear weapons and their tanks and their bombs and their guns. And all that's going to be ambition. And God's going to defeat them with the Bible. You say, well, preacher, I've never heard anything like that. It's in the book of Revelation. You ought to read it, the book of Ezekiel. God is still going to protect the Jew. The Jew's going to get every inch of that land. And I can tell you right now, amen, they're going to get it. Because God promised it, amen. There's a certain people out there. There were some strangers. There were some people. There was Rahab. She was not a Jew. God made an exception. God made an exception later for Ruth, who was not a Jew. And there were some that were Gentiles, and they were, if they would, they were welcome to come in and convert to the Jews and believe the God of heaven. They'd be saved. You know, they'd be counted them for righteous. Nowadays, it's Jesus Christ. You must believe in him to go to heaven. And God still is going to deal with his people one day. Amen. Now, the prompting and the people. Now, then the promise, verse number 2. The Bible said, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Who's God gave that land to? He's gave it to the children of Israel. God hasn't given that land to anybody else. I just want you to understand that. And by the way, Israel is going to give, is going to get everything God said they would get. I want you to understand that. Amen. God gave that land to Israel. God didn't give it to anybody else. And we got to put our Bible in the proper context. And we must realize that Israel is going to get what God said that they would get. God's still for them. And that promise now is to them. Now, by the way, to us as a Christian, God has promised us spiritual victory in this world. And we can have every inch of victory that God has promised if we just go with the Lord. Amen. Now, number one, we look at that God had to deal with Joshua about his going. God said, arise. Now, we go down to verse number 6 of chapter 1, number 2. Let's look at the second thing. God dealt with him about his strength. Verse number 6, be strong. Verse number 7, only be thou strong. Verse number 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong. 3 times he warns Joshua to be strong. Now, Dr. Lee Robertson said, everything rises and falls on leadership. I want to say today that we as preachers ought to be strong. Now, I'm not talking about ugly. I'm not talking about mean. But we ought to be strong in what we believe. We ought to stand on the Bible without wavering. We ought to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection to every sinner, whether they're who they are, rich, poor, whoever it is, Jew, Gentile. We're to preach the gospel to everybody. Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, are you? We should never be ashamed to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? God deals us about our strength. Many people are so weak in this hour. Many preachers are weak about what they believe. Many preachers get in the pulpit and they'll say, well, I'll preach this, but it could say that, or it could say this, or it could say that. Listen, friend, preach the Word of God the way it is. Amen. And stand for what is right. You don't have to stand in an ugly way. No, sir. You know, Amos, I've been reading some in the book of Amos. Matter of fact, read the whole book of Amos. And Amos, amen, he stood for what was right, but he didn't do it in an ugly way. Amen. I mean, he got firm, but he didn't get ugly. None of the prophets ever got ugly. And my friend, what about our strength? What about you as a Christian? Now, Canaan is a type of victorious Christian living. In order to live in this old world, you got to be strong in the Lord. Well, now, preacher, you know, I'm just not where I ought to be. Well, I don't ask the question, when you going to get there? I mean, every prayer request you have in the prayer service, y'all pray for me. I'm just not where I ought to be with the Lord. When you going to get there? Amen. Why do you keep making that request? You know what you're wanting? I'm going to be blunt with you. It's going to hurt a little bit. What you're wanting the preacher to pray for you, you're wanting the deacons to pray for you, some old saint to pray for you, and you're wanting zip, zap, life to just get better without you doing anything. Let me tell you something, if this country, and we're in great need right now, if we have revival in this country, you're going to have to do something, and I'm going to have to do something. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to get stronger than what we are in the Lord. We can't let every little battle throw us. And every time we get our feelings hurt in the church, we go home and sit down and quit. We can't do that. Why, God was telling Joshua, Joshua, you're going to have to be strong. I mean, mentally and spiritually and physically, Joshua's going to have to be strong. By the way, a pastor who is not a strong leader in his church won't be a strong church. You take a pastor who is, by the way, you know what I want in a pastor? I want a man who's going to pray for me. I don't mind my pastor coming to see me when I'm sick. But I'd rather 10 times that man be on his knees praying for me than to visit me in the hospital. Somebody said, I'm going to leave the church. Well, why are you going to leave, Sam? Well, you know, my wife down there sick in the hospital, and the preacher didn't even come by. Well, number one, you didn't tell anybody about it, amen? And you're going to leave the church over something like that? Well, let me tell you something. Would you rather have your preacher come to the hospital, or would you rather have your preacher pray for it? Now, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. I got nothing wrong with preachers visiting and all that. Don't start that stuff on me. Amen. I got nothing wrong with that. By the way, I call sick people sometimes. And I have been known when I pastored, I visited sick people. I don't visit as much as I did since I'm doing evangelist work, but I do call a lot of people. And I would visit if I need to. But let me tell you this. I'd rather a man be on his knees somewhere praying for me. I don't want to burden my pastor with my troubles. I'd rather him pray for me. Amen. Why? I want to have a strong pastor and a strong church. Now, Joshua was going to be a strong man. He was going to face war. Now, the children of Israel had seen the battle of Amalek, and they'd fit Og and conquered Bashan, but they were getting ready to get in the war of their life. I mean, all these nations were finally going to get together and come out after them. They're going to be in the war of their life. And Joshua was going to have to be strong in the Lord. Verse 6 again, be strong. Verse 7, only be thou strong. Amen. Verse number 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong. God said, be strong. Now, can I read you Ephesians 6:10 to the Christian? The Bible said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God's looking for some men in our day. Now, we're not conquering physically Canaan. But God's looking for us to conquer the spiritual Canaan. God wants us people to be strong. You know, I've been thinking about this in the 20th century and even in the 21st century now. In the last 50 years, we've had a lot of men, strong leaders, go on to be the Lord. R.G. Lee, Percy Ray, Tom Malone, Jack Hiles, Curtis Hudson, Sammy Allen, Stennett Ballou, J. Harold Smith, B.R. Lakin, Vance Havner. I mean, think about that. The last 50 years, we've had these men, great men of the 20th century, gone. They're gone to be with God now. Now, wait a minute. Now, listen to what I'm going to ask you a question. Who's replacing these men? We got today a bunch of compromising liberals, a bunch of recovering fundamentalists, amen, that wouldn't blow their nose for fundamentalism because they feel like that the rules are too strict and the things are too harsh, and they want to bend the rules and they want to break the rules. And let me tell you something, I'm not mad at nobody, but I'm going to stay a fundamental Bible-believing King James Bible preaching. I'm going to preach hell hot, sin black, heaven sweet, and the Bible right, and a liberal liberal. Amen. That's what I'm going to preach. Now, why? Because the Bible commands me to do that. But we need to be strong spiritually in the Lord. You know, you preach on prayer in church now. People act like you fell down from Jupiter or something. Amen. Why? You know, they don't want to hear that. You know why? People don't want to pray. People don't want to pray. They want to read some little devotional and feel happy in the morning. And if they even do that. Now, listen, again, hold the mule. I'm not mad at you if you read a devotional, but I'm saying this. You ought to have a time when you pray to God. You talk to God about things. God talks to you about things. And love the Lord. He's one to want fellowship with you. Be strong in the Lord. Now, I'm going to get off the message again to give you another little outline here, all right? First of all, how do I stay strong in the Lord? Number one, stay strong in the Scriptures. Stay in the Scriptures. How much do you read your Bible? Amen? Now, I was in a church service one night. I was getting ready to preach, I believe. Maybe I was there to hear somebody else in revival. I don't know, but I heard this woman behind me. She's talking to another woman. She said something about this, talking about some trial they've been through. She said, well, maybe my faith's just weak. And when I think about that, I think, well, dear lady, you just admitted you're not reading the Bible. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, there's no excuse today. There's much preaching. We just had a church donate us 600 sermons for PTG Radio. Let me tell you, there's no reason not to listen to preaching in the day and hour in which we live in. There's no reason not to read your Bible in the day and hour in which we live in. Stay in the Scriptures. Meditate in them day and night. Let them be your law. Let the young people listen to me. Not the youth preacher. Some of y'all are more interested in the youth preacher than you are God. Some of you are more interested in the youth programs than you are God. Get in your Bible. Somebody's book may be all right, but the Bible's better. As a young man, there was a pastor. He's in heaven now. Pastor Chandler. He was my pastor in 1979. And he gave me that giant print Bible that I could read and started me down on a journey. I asked him right before he died, about 6 months before he died. I was talking to him about giving me that Bible. And he said, Ricky, do you know the reason I gave you that Bible? Now, this is what he said. I didn't say it. He said, I saw the hand of God on you. Now, brother, in 1979, I'd have been, I was 12 years old when he gave me that Bible. I was 12, but 18, I was preaching the Word of God. Been preaching now over 41 years. I'm into my 42nd year preaching the Bible. And brother, what rewards he's going to have in heaven. He started me down the right road. Listen, young people, I'm not against books. I've got shelves full of them. Matter of fact, I've got a desk full of them right now. I've got nowhere to put them. But I want to tell you something about that. The greatest book you'll ever have is the Bible. Open your mouth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word, Psalm 119:9. You ought to learn the Bible. Learn the book of God. Stay in the, you want to be strong in the Lord, stay in the scriptures. You know, there's a lot of people wanted to be a Stennett Ballou, but they didn't want to study like Dr. Ballou did. Man, that man studied his Bible. I said to him one day, I said, Dr. Ballou, you sure do know your Bible. He said, well, shouldn't everybody? Let me tell you something, friend. We ought to study the Word of God. Now, I know you say, preacher, I just don't have time. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I don't mean this ugly. I hope you don't take it that way. But you've got the same amount of time I do. The deal is, are you going to prioritize your time? Now, I know I don't have any children. I don't have any grandchildren. But I got cats. I got four cats to house. And the old flesh would rather sit there and play with them cats any day than it would read the Bible. The flesh like that. You know it? Why, the flesh would rather be outside doing something than to read the Bible. The flesh like that. My flesh has never got up any morning of my life and said, yippee, Ricky, let's read the Bible today. My flesh never done that, and yours ain't neither. Stay in the scriptures. Number two, you want to be strong in the Lord? Let me tell you something. Trust in the Lord. Just believe exactly what God said. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen, 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 amen. I want to tell you something, brother. Listen. You want to be strong in the Lord? Just trust Him. Amen. The Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, talking to saved people, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And to be strong in the Lord, you got to be saved. You got to be born again. But do you know, stay in the scriptures and you don't trust Him. If you want to be a real star, you know what made these old men of God like Sammy Allen? You know what made them great Christians? They trusted God. Brother Sammy went out there, and my understanding is they told him, said, we're not going to sell you the land where their camp is on. We're not going to sell you the land. And Brother Sammy kept walking that land, claiming in his Canaan for the glory of God, and he bought that land. Amen. Let me tell you something. You know why he trusted God? When God said, right here it is, you just trust God for it. Amen. It's just like buying that radio. When they pulled that loan out from under me, there's some other things happening. I'll be honest with you. I almost gave up on it. I almost did. I walked away from that. And I said, I'm just not going to buy it. Amen. And the Holy Ghost said, yeah, you are. Listen, I just trusted God. I had weak moments, but I trusted God. There's other things in my life I just had to trust God for. This last radio station we got on the air, brother, we got drugged down the valley, through the hills, up the thorn patch and everything else. And there were times I didn't think it was going to happen. There were times I thought, good night, but deep down inside me, I went to my backyard one Sunday afternoon, and I sat in my yard. And I said, God, I'll not eat another bite, and I'll not drink another drink of water till you come to me. Until you tell me what to do about this project. And boy, it didn't look good. And God came to me. He said, go forward. Brother, today that station's on the air broadcasting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there's some things you go out to fight for. And there's some things you, and I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about the devil. And there's some things you're going to just have to trust God for. It may not look right. But I tell you, when it's God's will, again, it's God's will. Amen. If you want to be strong in the Lord, just trust Him. Stay in the scriptures, but trust Him. Then number three, the R, remain in prayer. Remain in prayer. Now, the reason some of y'all are not getting anything is you pray now, lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, if I should die before I wake, pray Gable's, God send Gable to mash the break, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. No, and you're done. No. You know why that lost loved one ain't saved? You went down to revival and got all stirred up and wrote Aunt Sally's name down on your prayer list, but you ain't prayed for Aunt Sally in 6 months and you won't pray for her again to the next revival meeting. My friend, you don't get your prayers answered that way. You get your prayers answered by staying with it. You get your prayers answered by praying, 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 praying. I encourage everybody to make a prayer list and pray down it every day. Jesus loves to hear from you. Oh, He's God up in heaven. He loves to hear from you. Amen. You say, well, preacher, what does He do in your prayer life? And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own and the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. How about that? Amen. Ain't the Lord good? He wants to hear from you. Oh, if you want to stay strong, the Lord, remain in prayer. You know what made Sammy Allen, I keep referring to him as a strong man. Brother Sammy walked with God. Brother Sammy prayed. Brother Sammy could tell if a man was filled with the Spirit. I know a man that walked into the camp meeting, and that man was full of the Holy Ghost, and that man didn't even know Brother Sammy Allen. And Brother Sammy talked with that man and let that man know that he knew that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something, brother. God's people can tell God's people, amen? Now, I want to say something here. I'm going to stop and say this. There's a doctrine that's not being preached today. It's called the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've allowed a bunch of toe-tapping, hand-clapping, bunch of charisma people scare us up. I want to tell you something. You're not going to scare me away from the Spirit of God. I'm a fundamental independent Baptist, amen? I've been one ever since I was saved, and I ain't going to change now. But let me tell you something. I believe in one indwelling and many fillings of the Holy Ghost. If you're going to be strong in the Lord, you've got to remain in prayer. You've got to find out what heaven wants. You know, we're too busy wondering what Washington wants. I'm going to tell you something. Now, I believe in getting involved. I believe in Christians running for county seats and board seats and congressman seats and even the presidency's fine with me. And I'll tell you, Washington's never fixed our problems. They ain't now, and they never will fix our problems. They are the problem. And it's just a bunch of corruption. You take a good man most time, and you send him up there, and he gets a little money, and he's turned aside from the faith. But let me tell you something. Now, not all of them are that way. We got some good people up there. I thank God we do. And I vote and do what I'm supposed to do. Amen. But I want to know what heaven thinks. You see, I read in the Bible where God said he wouldn't do anything until he showed it to his prophets. Now, I'm not a prophet. Don't go away and say Brother Cawthorn said he's a prophet. I didn't say that. But how does God work? He works through his preachers today. 7 times in the book of Revelation, God said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." How does the Spirit say it to the churches? He says it through the preacher. 7 times in the book of Revelation, he said, unto the angel. Who is that? That's the pastor of the church. Brother, God will let his preachers know what he's about to do. But in order to do that, those preachers have got to walk with God. Those preachers got to be in prayer. I'm not talking about every second being in prayer. But you know what my 2 jobs are as a preacher? It will shock you. If I ask you what the 2 main jobs of a preacher are, it would shock you what they are. They're not what you think they are. But I'll tell you what they are. I won't tell you what they ain't, but I'll tell you what they are. Prayer and studying and ministering the Word of God. The Bible said that those apostles were to be given to the Word of God and to prayer. That's my 2 jobs. That's my 2 requirements for God as a preacher, to be given to the Word of God and prayer. Amen. I'm to pray and ask God to help people. Amen. All right. Now, to be strong in the Lord, stay in the Scriptures. S-T, trust in the Lord. R, remain in the Word of God. It means this, and I skipped that one. So, no, I didn't. Now, where did I go here? Yeah, I did skip that one. I skipped, where am I at here? All right, let me just go back. Stay in the Scriptures. Number 2, trust in the Lord. Number 3, remain in prayer. Right, that's where I am. Now, number 4, optimism, hope. You see, when you stay in the Scriptures and trust God and remain in prayer, you're going to have hope. Everything to me is not doom and gloom. This is a good day to live in. Did you know that? It's a good day to live. You say, "Why, preacher, don't you realize what all's going on around us?" I do. We're in a dark, discouraging, dangerous, demonic hour. I understand that. But you know what I'm to do? I'm still to hope in God. I'm still to believe that this same book that worked for Dwight Moody will work for me. This same Bible that worked for Percy Ray will work for me. This same Bible that worked for Stennett Ballou will work for me. This same Bible that worked for Vance Havner will work for me. This same Bible that worked for Bobby Robertson will work for me. This same Bible that worked for Curtis Hudson will work for me. Amen. Amen. Why? Because God's the same God, the same book, the same... Now, wait a minute. I know times are different. And I realize people are harder. And you may not have as many people coming to church as you did then. But I'll tell you one thing. If you'll preach the Word of God, you can get some people to come to church. And if you'll preach the Bible and you'll pray, you can get some conviction. You know what our problem is today? It's not that nobody's not being saved. The problem is there's no conviction of the Holy Spirit to the sinner. The Bible, God told Paul, he said, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." You see, when we're strong, Lord, we're not, you can't do anything for God all discouraged all the time. Why, preacher, the communists are going to take America, and I firmly believe that's a possibility. Well, preacher, America's going to fall, and I firmly believe that's probably a possibility. I believe our government's going to fall one of these days if we don't get God back in the middle of something. We're so divided in this country. We got one crowd jerking it left and one crowd jerking it right. You take your car and go down the highway. You start jerking that wheel left and jerk her back to the right and jerk her back left. You know what you're going to do? You're going to hit a tree or something. You're going to have a real bad wreck. America's going to have a wreck one of these days. But brother, I'm the hope in God. My hope's not in America. My hope's not in the Senate. My hope's not in the Congress. My hope's not in the presidency. My hope's in God. Now, if I thought my hope only was in the presidency, I'd run for the office. I'm over 35 years old, so I could run. Amen. Next election, I would file and run. If I thought my hope was in that, I'd file and I'd give everything I got to that. My hope's in Jesus Christ. Now, there are men that run for president. I believe we need some godly men in that office, and I thank God for it, and I hope we one day get a fundamental Bible-believing born-again Christian to fill that office. I really do. It'd be good for me for the president to come out and address the nation and say, first of all, before we do anything else, we're going to pray. And when he gets done praying, he said, we're going to do one more thing. Now we're going to stand here and we're going to lead the press corps in. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. But if that don't happen, my optimism is still to be to bring hope. Amen. To be strong in the Lord, you've got to. And if you believe God, you're going to have this hope in God. Amen. Number four, never quit. You want to be strong in the Lord, STRON. Be strong in the Lord. Never, never quit. I was reading the other day. Demas was a quitter. Demas will have to stand in the judgment seat of Christ, forsaking Paul in his great hour of need. Demas was a quitter. You want to be strong in the Lord, never quit. I've told you the story. I believe I told it on the last message. I bought me a garden tiller, a great old big thing. I went down there after COVID. COVID come, and I think the next year I got me a garden tiller. And I went down there, going to learn how to run that thing, and it wallowed me all over that garden. Amen. You could have hung me up on a nail, I guess. I pulled that thing back up there, and I cried about it. I mean, tears come to my eyes. And I sat there and I stand there by one of the bushes in the front yard, and God said, Ricky Cawthorn, you ain't never give up on nothing. Ain't no need to start now. Or said, you ain't never give up on nothing. And I said, you know, Lord, I ain't never quit nothing in my life. I mean, I've quit a few things, I guess, but I've never quit. In other words, things I set my mind to, I've never quit doing it. And I said, Christy, and I couldn't hardly get to the gas tank. I said, fill it up. She filled that thing up full of gas, took it back down the garden. I learned to run a garden tiller. I'm going to tell you something. The work of God's heart. But there's one thing. I'm guilty of a lot of things. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not guilty of being in church one week and out six and being in eight and out 12 and being in 10 and out five. I'm not guilty of that. I've always been in a local Bible preaching church, and I've always been affiliated with a Bible preaching church. I've never been in and out. I never have been. The preacher's never had to come and see me, not one time, beg me back to church. I've been cussed, lied on, threatened, everything else. That's all right. I love everybody. But I want to tell you what, to be strong in the Lord, never quit. Oh, preacher, they hurt my feelings. Well, ain't you better than that? Go get you some tissue and cry it out and then get back on your seat. Amen? Never quit. Then I'm going to give you the last one. If you want to be strong in the Lord, gather with the saints. Oh, you say, preacher, now we have church at home. Hogwash and pickle slop. God never ordained anybody to stay at home. Amen. The church is a public place for God's people. Amen. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God wanted you to be in church. Be strong. Now he said, Joshua, three times said, be strong. And to the if you want to conquer Canaan, Joshua, you're going into this big old war over here. Now there are going to be several wars. And God knew that, and he was saying, Joshua, be strong. Three times, not one time, not two times, but three times, he warns Joshua to be strong in the Lord. Now, amen, he warned him to be strong. Now, if that's true for the physical Canaan, What about the spiritual Canaan that you and I face? The average Christian will never see victory in his life. You know why? He will not stay in the Scriptures. He will not trust the Lord. He will not remain in prayer. He will not have optimism. He will not have the attitude of never quit, and he will not gather with the saints. And if he does, he'll just do it irregularly. God cannot give you the victory if you're in today and out tomorrow. Some of you, now I don't go much on rededication. I tell you what, I think a lot of people need to get born again. But there might be somebody today that you are saved, and you're like Lot, you're so weak and you're so out there that you'd rededicate your life to God and say, God, I'm tired of living this way. Our pastor tells a story how he got saved when he was 6 years old. When he was a teenager, he got out in the world. And when he was a teenager, the thing that finally broke him and one of his friends went into a store. And he said, when I came out, he said, I had a thought in my mind. Or he said, when I was in that store, he said, the man was elderly. He said, I had a thought in my mind, why don't I just rob this guy? And he said, I didn't do that. I was raised better. He said, I was saved, but I got out in the world and got back in the car. He said, I was just trembling. My friend came out and he was trembling too. And he said, what's wrong with you? He said, I had a bad thought in there. He said, what'd you think? He said, I thought about just robbing that fella. He said, my friend looked at me. He said, you know, I thought the same thing. Now, I want to tell you something. You know what? He said, brother, that turned me around. He went to church, got right with God. God called him to preach. He got married, and he's been in the same church now for 40 years preaching the Word of God. Let me tell you something. You can get out there, and the devil will get you into trouble because you're not strong. By the way, I'm not kicking you if you're not strong in the Lord. There are some people that are stronger than others. There are some that grow faster than others. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you something. Would you grow in the Lord today? Would you, as the old song says, come home. Amen. Would you come home to the Lord? And then, sinner friend, if you're not saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, will you take this message and use it for your glory? Thank you. Lord, help us spiritually to conquer the Canaan land. In Jesus' name. Amen.